Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures. For more than 50 years, the museum has told stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character. Details at texancultures.com.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Are you worried about paying your rent, or are you worried about your renters paying their rent? The economic crisis is being felt now even harder that we have started a new month. What does this look like from where you are sheltering in place? It's not that easy for landlords just to give rent forgiveness, and because they also have bills to pay. Probably you're paying mortgage on that property as well. Sometimes you're not dealing with an individual landlord, but a corporation, and that's even more difficult. But what support is there for people who are trying to pay their rent during this economic turmoil? And could individuals actually be forced into the street or into doubling up with others in households? How does that actually increase the spread of coronavirus when we have multiple families in one household? You can call in. Tell us what you're experiencing. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And you can also email us at thesource@tpr.org. Tweet at us at TPRSource. We're joined now by James Gaines. He is PhD, Chief Economist for the Texas A&M Real Estate Center. And James Gaines, welcome to The Source.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
Brenda Mascoro is with us, the Chief Executive Director of the South Alamo Regional Alliance for the Homeless. Brenda, welcome back to The Source.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, David.
And with us also, Maya Brennan is the Senior Policy Associate at the Research to Action Lab at the Urban Institute. Maya, good to have you here.
Thanks, David, for having me.
So first, let me go to James Gaines. As an economist at the Texas A&M Real Estate Center, you must be looking at some numbers that are kind of scary.
Well, so far, the numbers, of course, generally in the real estate market are a little slow to come in. So I can tell you that we're just now getting a first kind of glance at the March data, and it's mixed because, of course, the first half of March was pretty good. And I can tell you January and February, the state of Texas and San Antonio and the rest were – we were doing fine in the housing market. Sales were up, prices were up, interest rates were down, activity levels were up, apartment rents were up, occupancy rates were up. All of the fundamentals were basically positive and going in that direction through about the middle of March. And then, of course, that was when we really started getting involved with the virus effects, the coronavirus effects. The last 2 weeks have been mixed. We're getting anecdotal reports in some areas. Activity has not really let up all that much, and in other areas, activity has fallen off a good bit. I can tell you the home builders, by and large, have continued to build houses. Home building has been it's one of those debatable areas of whether it's an essential activity for people not to have to go into stay-at-home situation. But most of the time, and a general statement, the home building activity has still kept up, at least for the last couple of weeks. The thing we don't know is what's going to happen here in April. April's going to be, by all measures, economic measures, is going to be a catastrophic month for the overall economy, for the labor market, and for everything else, and how that's going to get translated into the real estate market. Little early to tell, but we are anticipating sales will fall off. Despite the fact the interest rates will be at a historical low, if you can qualify, lenders are being encouraged to accept and defer and have forbearance on non-payment of mortgage payments for at least a month or two, with the idea in place that what you'll do is tack on that mortgage payment that you don't pay. You'll tack it on to the end of the mortgage or put it off until later. Basically, it's being deferred. It's not being forgiven. The real pressure in the market, though, is from the mortgage servicers who have to pass along those mortgage payments to the bondholders and the ultimate lenders. And, for example, the escrow accounts for taxes and insurance that are also not getting paid, that the lenders at some point, and this varies across the board of the timing, ultimately have to pay out of these escrow accounts. So it's not a simple solution. The same is happening in the apartment market. You were introducing the segment of people perhaps losing their place of where they live and their apartments. Landlords are in the same boat. Do they forgive a month or two of rent? And here we are on the 2nd of April. Rents were due yesterday. I don't know. We don't know yet what the experience is statistically. We don't know how widespread the non-payment of rent. It's got to be pretty hard. We've had almost 10 million people across the country apply for unemployment insurance in the last 2 weeks, almost a half a million here in Texas alone. So it's going to be hitting people, and it's going to hit this month, and April and May and June are going to be really the hard months, and it's just a little early to really call it.
So what I'm wondering about is the resilience of the real estate market. And if it's a house of cards and it just takes one shock to make it all crumble, or if it can withstand a couple of tough shocks and still maintain. If we have a lot of property that is heavily leveraged, if we have aggressive policies of like, you don't pay, then we'll pull the carpet out from under your feet. And how that would just be a domino tumbling one after the other and collapsing the market. So, James, is that something that could happen?
It's a reasonable concern, and the answer is anything is possible. My suspicion is that what will happen is we will have it'll be spotty. There'll be some areas or maybe some individual cases where lenders or landlords, take your pick, play hardball or are forced to play hardball and do evictions, do foreclosures, and so forth. Most of those will probably result, though, it's going to back up into the system of people losing their jobs and not regaining their jobs. It's all going to revolve really around jobs. People who are even laid off here in the short run because of the virus outbreak, if they are rehired and on the assumption that we get through this virus effect here within some reasonable period of time, and don't ask me what that is. I don't know whether we're looking at 60 days, 90 days, 120 days, whatever. But if we can get through it in a reasonable time and most of these people wind up getting rehired and jobs get reestablished and incomes get reestablished, it won't be as bad. If, on the other hand, it appears that a lot of these 10 million people that have filed for unemployment, half a million people here in Texas just so far, just in the last 2 weeks, if some of these people are, to the extent they don't get their jobs back or don't get rehired, or get rehired in substantially lower paying jobs, then we're going to see more evictions and foreclosures and so forth. The other side of the coin is, in the foreseeable future, if you maintain your job and so forth and want to go borrow money to buy a new house, you better make sure you got a good FICO score and you can meet all of the P's and Q's of the process. Because I think that the lenders are going to be very conservative for the next year or so in making what I'll call vanilla loans. They're going to be loans that just have no very, very low risk type loans. So we'll have to see. I wish I could give you a more definitive answer. There isn't one yet.
Maya Brennan with the Urban Institute, with some of these loan forgiveness or maybe some landlords saying, we'll give you a break here. It seems like these are stopgap measures that can only hold up for so long. And if you look at the pipeline of problems that are coming, it's building up and eventually it's going to give way. What are you expecting to see?
So within the rental market, there are a lot of small operator landlords or nonprofit landlords or even for-profits that but are serving a lower income clientele and trying to do that with small margins. All of that segment of the market, which is pretty substantial, will face a risk if the rents aren't coming in. And we haven't seen that there's really federal relief yet that is aimed at that segment of the crisis.
Right. So federal help, some smart people looking at the economy, trying to figure out how do we shore up and prevent a collapse of the real estate market while also helping people be able to maintain their homes. Is that what you would like to see?
Yeah, I mean, most Texans working low-wage jobs can't find any place, even before the crisis, that had low enough rents to be able to avoid eviction risk. And then you add the crisis on, and we know that renters are not likely to have the money saved to weather a three-month crisis. They're also not in a position to be able to have a missed month or two of rent get added to the tail end like an owner can. So we really need for renters today, renters tomorrow, to make sure that we're getting relief in, not just a moratorium, because the moratorium just makes those bills add up and makes the whole situation worse for renters and for the property owners trying to hold on.
Brenda Mascoto at the South Alamo Regional Alliance for the Homeless. What are you seeing?
We are seeing quite a bit of different things. One of the things that concerns me is currently the city of San Antonio is receiving 56 calls a week for risk mitigation funds. And, today they just reported that those 56 calls a week for risk mitigation to help with bills has increased to about 2,000 calls a week. So folks can't pay their bills. They can't pay their rent, obviously. And so we are concerned about what's going to happen as well as this time continues. We're concerned about the fact that we already here in San Antonio, Bexar County, have close to 3,000 people experiencing literal homelessness, and how many more will be added on to that amount.
We have to think about the people who are already homeless, and then we have to think about the people who become newly homeless, driven out of their places where they live. And so the people who are already homeless right now, how are they being kept safe from the coronavirus?
Well, we're doing quite a bit of things. We partnered with the city of San Antonio, DHS department, and we're having weekly, daily, it seems like minute-to-minute calls just to ensure that that we're keeping up with the need. We're keeping up with ensuring that folks are following rules, and not only rules, but best practices when it comes to protecting the clients. Every day has been something different. We have not, to this day, heard of one homeless individual that has COVID-19 here in Bexar County and San Antonio, but we anticipate that's going to change soon. So we have to be prepared for that. The shelters, we're fortunate in San Antonio, Bexar County, to have Haven for Hope. However, Haven for Hope, also having Haven for Hope and having a lot of folks in one location also, highlights opportunities of improvement as we look for areas for isolation and quarantine. Once folks start being testing positive with COVID-19. And so we are preparing for that. Every day we are looking, we've secured the EOC, they've secured areas to send folks for isolation. We are now currently looking for where we can find areas for quarantine, transportation. When you think about the homeless, it's a little bit more complex because they can't just go home to isolate or quarantine.
Right. They live in public spaces. And if anything we've learned from this experience is that if one person has COVID-19, then we all are at risk. Doesn't matter if they're a homeless or if they're a CEO. We have to figure out how are we going to manage the situation by taking care of all of us. You can call and tell us what you're experiencing about your rent, your concerns about whether or not you could join the homeless. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. What can be done to keep the crisis from disproportionately affecting housing for low-income and minority families? Do you currently rent an apartment? Are you worried about paying your rent this month or next month? What have you heard from your landlords? Did they reach out to you? Are they expecting you to pipe up and explain that you are not going to be able to come up with the rent? If you're a landlord, what are you doing? What are you seeing from your tenants? And what do you expect to see happening down the line? You can call in. Our number is 833-877-8255. That's also 833-TPR-TALK. And you can also email us at thesource@tpr.org. And let's listen to one of our voicemails.
Yes, my name is David. We have one rent house, and we have a tenant who has told us that she's not going to be able to pay. And we told her the stimulus money is coming, and she could pay us when that comes. And she's husband and wife and three kids, so I assume they're going to be getting $500 per child plus $2,400. But she's asking us to reduce the rent to half of what it normally is, and I don't think we can do that. I'm just wondering if there's any assistance coming along, and whether how she can apply for unemployment. She works as a waitress, but I don't know. Sometimes waitresses are paid under the table. So would she be eligible? Probably not if she were paid under the table. And any suggestions?
So Maya Brennan with the Urban Institute, what can you tell us about the relief that could be coming in for someone who's in that situation?
Right. So it is absolutely worth looking to someone who has more information about the unemployment programs than I do. But as far as the stimulus money and relief in the CARES Act, there are resources flowing through there through a couple of different lines that a state or a county on the receiving end can use for eviction prevention emergency assistance. So the three tools that you should check with your local government to see if they're going to use in this way are the Emergency Solutions Grant Program, and by the way, all of them could use a little bit more money to them, but the Emergency Solutions Grant Program helps with both homelessness and eviction prevention. The Community Development Block Grant money can also be used toward eviction prevention, and there's a wide latitude for the Coronavirus Relief Fund in there. So any of those three could potentially be a source that if the tenant were to go to county generally social service office, they would be able to seek that sort of assistance.
James Gaines, chief economist for the Texas A&M Real Estate Center. People may not think, oh, the landlord, they can just forgive the rent, but they may not understand that the landlord, they may have a mortgage on that rental property. They can't just wave a magic wand and the rent can go away at times, right? What's the situation look like from the point of view of a landlord?
No, you're exactly correct. And it doesn't matter if it's like the gentleman who said he had one rental unit or someone who has several hundred rental units. They've got the same issue and the same problem. It's a domino effect. And it's most of us have seen, where you have dominoes stacked going in all different directions, and all you have to do is tip over the very first one, and all of the other dominoes start tipping over following the different patterns. And that's what we're seeing right now in our economy. And it's not just apartment rents, it's commercial rents, retail space, restaurants, you name it, office rents. So we're going to see all of these kind of things. And you're exactly correct. The landlords don't have the option completely of just saying, oh, well, don't worry about this month, you know, and because for one thing, they're not sure it's going to be just this month. It may be this month and May and maybe even June before they start seeing rent. So you're correct. Absolutely. Everybody's in a bind on this because the tenant can call the landlord and say, I'm not going to be able to pay my rent. The landlord calls his mortgage holder and says, I'm not going to be able to make my mortgage payment. The mortgage holder calls the bond holder and says, I'm not going to be able to make the bond payment. You see the dominoes going down. The various assistance programs at the federal, state, local levels are trying to put the buffer in there to keep those dominoes from completely falling over. I agree. I don't think that there's enough assistance money out there and capital to stop them all.
And right, but it does seem like sometimes the people who are making the decisions at like the Fed regard some dominoes as more important than others. They don't mind that maybe some people they don't pay their if they get they lose their homes, but they want to make sure that the bond dominoes stay upright.
Well, and that you're exactly right. There's going to be a selectivity here, and there are going to I don't think there's any doubt that we're going to see sometime maybe starting this summer a wave of foreclosures, bankruptcies by companies, small businesses in particularly, who just simply don't have the capital resources to survive or to rebuild even after it's over. We're going to see that. It's going to be inevitable. And at this point, we passed a $2.2 trillion bill here a few days ago. They're already talking about the next bill, and I think there'll be even more. The Fed has said it's going to basically do unlimited bond buying and treasuries bond buying. So our national debt is going to go through the roof. The balance sheet at the Fed is going to go through the roof. And, you know, the small person, the individual gets hurt in this. Some of the big guys won't get as hurt as much as the small guys, just the way it has been.
Right. And the big guys, the 1%, they're sitting on a mountain of cash right now, so they're able to deal with this. But people who are, you know, our families, the vulnerable families, are not. So Brenda Muscoto, South Alamo Regional Alliance for the Homeless. I hate asking you this question. Are we ready for an eruption of families who are going to be homeless?
It is a very difficult question. We can be ready. We could start looking at housing problem solving approaches immediately. We can start looking at policy. I think this is a great opportunity for us to look at different policy development costs and land use regulations that make it difficult for us to build non-traditional housing, such as tiny homes and permanent supportive housing. This really is an opportunity for us to like look outside the box on what we've consistently made difficult for us to try to think about because it's non-conventional or non-traditional and really start focusing on what are those steps and take them quick, take them now. To be honest, if we're ready, nobody was ready for this. Can we take some steps to almost mitigate? Yes, we can.
And Maya Brennan at the Urban Institute, what are you telling individuals to do? What should they know about not being able to pay their rent or meet their mortgage?
So the first thing is that renters and landlords should know that everything we've heard about moratoriums is a very temporary solution. So don't think that moratorium is enough. Also, a number of owners may be able to qualify for mortgage forbearance, but they need to be the ones to communicate to their tenant that because there's really no way for a tenant to know if the federal mortgage forbearance, which means no late fees can be charged, no evictions can be filed. There's no way for them to know if their landlord has that. So it's a very difficult situation for the individual that is that last or rather that first domino that causes the whole chain to fall. But we need to know as a nation and as communities that if you stabilize the renter, you're stabilizing all of those dominoes. And I think that's that was a wonderful metaphor from Dr. Gaines there.
We've heard from the Texas Supreme Court putting a moratorium on evictions. We've also heard from locally that there's going to be no evictions. I can't understand how long that could last and if that's actually happening. So any ideas? Maya, are there no evictions happening right now?
So at this point, there are some evictions happening in some places. The rules around eviction vary from county to county in some places, and definitely vary from state to state. So right now, you are allowed to file for eviction. The last I saw in Texas, there's some types of evictions that can proceed, but there is often a pause in carrying through those evictions or holding the hearings for the cases. So folks are absolutely at risk of their future tenancy being negatively affected by filings that are coming through right now. That can affect the tenant's ability to find another place to live for years.
And James Gaines, the chief economist for Texas A&M Real Estate Center, I'm sure there are people who haven't lost their jobs, but they're scared and they want to hang on to their cash and they figure, well, I'm not going to be evicted or if I don't have to pay my utilities, why should I? I mean, that's probably part of the economic model as well.
Sure. I'm sure that there is going to be some of that. If you haven't lost your job and you're still going to work or working remotely and so on.
Pay your bills.
At some point, pay your bills. Yeah, pay your bills. And this is an incident we haven't even mentioned. The small businessman, the small business who rents a few thousand square feet and operates whatever business that it might be, they've got the same problem. Obviously, it's not their housing, but they may have the housing problem as well. They've got a dual problem. They got, how do I pay the rent on my business and how do I pay the mortgage on my house?
Sure, commercial real estate is, should we see the floor falling out on that, particularly for restaurants and places that are not considered essential. We got to take a break. The number is 833-877-8255. We really need to hear from you what's happening in your neighborhood with your situation. 833-TPR-TALK. We'll be right back.
Thousands of people living in cramped, unsanitary conditions on the border have no way to protect themselves from a public health threat.
Altogether, there is no way, or it is very, very difficult to keep the distance in this time of COVID-19.
Doctors Without Borders responds to the crisis. Next time on Fronteras, I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about housing and the homelessness, the capacity that we have for taking care of the homeless, keeping them, trying to keep them free out of the way of the coronavirus. But I don't think that's going to be possible because it's out there. And if anyone has it, we're all at risk. We just can't say this population, they need to figure it out for themselves. If you can call in, tell us what's happening with your housing. Are you worried about your rent? What's your landlord telling you? The number is 833-877-8255. Brenda Mascoro with the South Alamo Regional Alliance for the Homeless. The domino's falling and it looks bad and some people will lose their homes and they may have to double up and then that would kind of put them at risk because it's really hard to isolate in place when you have a house with two or three families in there.
It certainly is. We're already seeing that specifically with our youth. Youth homelessness has been an issue and we've recently acquired resources to help youth homelessness. These are youth that are just transitioning out of foster care and so on and so forth. Well, youth usually avoid homelessness or literal homelessness by doubling out or what we call couch surfing. But what we are seeing is that folks that are couch surfing aren't welcome in couches anymore just because of what's going on. And so we definitely are seeing an increase of youth and of individuals that were at some point doubled up, not being able to double up any further. And those are things that, again, we need to prepare for. Specifically the youth component. These are youth that are 18 through 24, ages 18 through 24, and they're not about to get a new job at this time. They're not going to, the jobs that they were seeking are typically in the food industry or so on and so forth. And so we are worried about them, but we need to put some mechanisms in place to help them and help those folks that were doubled up find some housing solutions quick.
Got an email from Jimmy. Our lease is up in mid-May, and we had not planned to renew. We want to downsize to something more affordable, but we can't go look at places because of the new stay-at-home order. If things stay like this for a while, we're basically going to be forced into resigning our lease because what else can we do? Is there anything to prevent landlords from taking advantage of this situation and then raising the rent? So let me go first to Maya Brennan with the Urban Institute. What sort of protections do renters have in that sort of case?
So I would encourage you to go to a website called Just Shelter. JustShelter.org is part of Matt Desmond's eviction lab work. And there he has a collection of different state and local resources to be able to call. The laws are going to vary from place to place. In the places where I'm most familiar, what would happen in that situation is that the landlord would not be able to force a longer-term lease renewal or change the rent. The tenancy would go to a sort of month-to-month basis under the same terms before, unless the tenant signed something. But that sort of situation may be different under Texas laws, and it's important to check that specifically.
And you can also look, shop for apartments online. Almost a lot of people have like walkthroughs on apartments, virtual walkthroughs. There's a lot you can do from where you are. It puts you at risk. You know, moving, doing all this stuff is very difficult. James Gaines mm-hmm. at the Texas A&M Real Estate Center. But doesn't a renter who can pay their bills, don't they have a lot more leverage now? And can they negotiate their rent lower?
Well, if they're already under contract, they might be able to negotiate if it's coming up for renewal. And there, yes, they might have some negotiating power. Because one of the things that's probably going to happen here over the next 6 to 8, 9, 10 months is that the demand for space is theoretically going to fall as people are put out of work and businesses go out of business. Now, so if you are in a position where you can you have the ability to pay, then you may have some negotiating power with the landlords, and the landlords are going to be hurting. One of the things we haven't even said yet is about the evictions. Because I've got this from several actually commercial brokers. They're hesitant to kick out a tenant out of, say, a neighborhood shopping center, because right now they don't have anybody to replace them with. So they're really, most of them are perfectly willing to work with the business that right now is shut down by mandate to get them back in place, because they don't have a whole lot of choice of new businesses or new tenants to put in their place.
Yeah, I heard about Cheesecake Factory telling their mall owners or the renters, that landlords, that they are not going to be able to pay, and they're not going to pay anything. And I think to me that sounded like an opening offer of a negotiation.
It may be. Now, that's a different scale of operation, and they're dealing with institutional owners quite often. I guess what I was really referring to is the smaller shopping center that's owned generally by a local individual or something, and the negotiations are a little bit more even, if you will, and more local. But you're right. It's a good example. And Cheesecake may be trying to use that
as a negotiation ploy to restructure their terms of their leases. I don't know that. I could be.
I got an email from Anthony. We've seen some rent strikes organized on the East Coast. What have you heard of any strikes happening in the state? And would it even work in a state like Texas? So first, let me go to Maya Brennan from the Urban Institute. What's a rent strike look like? How do you organize it? How do you enforce it? And what would be the outcome?
So a rent strike would be an organized group of tenants all opting not to pay the rent.
Like citywide or building-wide? How would that look?
It could be building-wide or it could be citywide. Generally, there are going to be folks who opt in and opt out of joining that sort of strike. So it takes a lot of tenant organizing power to be able to do that. I don't know what the likelihood would be of tenant organizing being strong enough to do that in Texas, but what I would encourage is for, you know, tenants to use that organizing power to get the federal government to give a little bit more toward eviction prevention funds, because that lease is going to be in trouble after a rent strike. What we really need is to make sure that resources like the Emergency Solutions Grant Program, which can help with the homeless issues and help with eviction prevention, aren't having to decide which one of those both equally important issues they're going to cover.
Brenda Muscoto at the South Alamo Regional Alliance for the Homeless. Are we seeing a lot of leadership coming from Dr. Ben Carson, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development?
We are. HUD, we here at Tangerine also recently got assigned technical assistance from HUD, and they are making sure they're in the communities, ensuring that we are following best practices. They're ensuring that we are hearing the latest. So we are getting a lot of support, specifically with COVID-19. We just recently received what they call the mega waiver, which is a HUD document that we are reading intensely today and tomorrow to see what relief is available and to ensure that we appropriately designate it for the community. With that said, it's an evolving process when it comes to the homeless population. There's a lot of need in certain areas, and then we anticipate there being more need in the back end. So we also have to take some proactive steps to prepare for that.
And James Gaines at Texas A&M Real Estate Center, I mean, this is not an asteroid strike. This is bad, but it's not that bad. We will come out on the other side of this. Are people who are dealing with real estate, are they just thinking about the next quarter? Are they thinking about long term? What's their focus?
I think they are. I think obviously everybody has got some focus on the immediate next 30, 60 days. And that's kind of what our discussion has been a lot about not paying this month's rent or maybe next month's rent. But I think a lot of people are really beginning to already think about, it was mentioned a little while ago, for example, on the homeless issue, going to the tiny house, going to non-traditional housing techniques, getting cities and so forth to start reevaluating their zoning codes and their building codes of what kind of housing is allowed in a community to handle. Because the homeless this was not like a hurricane or a tornado or something where we all of a sudden created a bunch of homeless. It's a little different situation.
Right. So we still have the homes. We still have the stock. We just don't have the money.
We still have the stock. Yeah, the money. It always comes back to money, right?
Right. So one last question here. Let me go to Maya Brennan at the Urban Institute. What are the things, actionable things, I have about a minute left, people need to do if they think they are in trouble?
If you're in trouble, contact your landlord immediately if you're a renter who's in trouble and say, hey, I need to work out some kind of a repayment plan or find some forms of assistance. Usually they can connect you or the county government can connect you with social services or mediation folks and start that conversation right away. If you delay, it only gets worse.
And Brenda Muscoto, what can people do who have recently lost their homes? How do they figure out, how am I going to survive homeless? I've got about 30 seconds.
I think we can start assessing. We've currently, we're designing a hotline where the city has put out where we were going to have assessments, but really want to encourage the folks that are already homeless to listen to the CDC guidelines, practice social distancing, wash your hands, et cetera, et cetera.
All right. Brenda Moscoto at SARA, the South Alamo Regional Alliance for the Homeless. Also with us, Maya Brennan at the Urban Institute. James Gaines, Chief Economist at the Texas A&M Real Estate Center. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.